This is the Let's Talk Wheels Radio Network.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios,
here's Matt Perrault and Mike Herzing.
Welcome into another edition of Let's Talk Wheels here on the Let's Talk Wheels Radio Network. My name is Matt Perrault alongside Mr. Mike Herzing, as we are each and every single week. Mike, how are you?
Oh, man, it's been in the mid-70s and beautiful. It's been a great week.
Spring in Texas, right? Although if you're in Chicago, New York, Philadelphia, Boston, you're now hating Mike for that comment because you're not going to see 70 for another like 4 months or so before that. Got a great show lined up for you guys today. Automotive news and notes coming up here in the next segment with some news from Ford that we'll get into more on that chip shortage, which continues to be a major talking point in the automotive industry. Lee Newcomb's coming on from Ford, the Ford Explorer marketing manager, talking about the new Explorer King Ranch. One of my neighbors that actually my daughter goes to goes to first grade 4 days a week for a half a day. And so some of the days we have a neighbor of ours whose daughter is in my daughter's. So she drives a King Ranch Ford. And that, yeah. I think it's a 2500 or 1500, one of the two.
Oh, yeah.
But it is just an absolute, that vehicle, I cannot believe thing is that big. Like it's just so big. It's just one of those vehicles where you're like, you see it on the roadway, you're like, yeah, whatever. You get up close to it, you're like, my goodness, that just the cab is extraordinarily large. It's just, it's really kind of wild to watch. So we'll get into that coming up here with the new Explorer King Ranch coming up. How big is that thing going to be?
No, Explorer is not very big. It's a nice full size. No, it's not even a full size. It's kind of like a mid-size SUV. It's a nice vehicle, just like the police pull you over in. It's one of those size, but it's just going to have the nice interior with the saddle leather and really nice. It's just going to be a nice vehicle.
Very cool. So we'll get to that a little bit. Automotive reviews. Mike has got a Denali 2500 to tell you about for all you. Well, I guess I'll save it for the review because I'm always very curious about that. I don't think we drove the 2500, did we, for the Denalis?
No, we were in the 3500. It's just the same vehicle, just a different suspension.
Okay. So just a little bit of a smaller vehicle. I have got a review coming up for you guys for a sedan, for a Hyundai Sonata that I actually really liked a lot. That was surprisingly fast, quick, and really fuel efficient for a car that's not a hybrid. I mean, 30 miles a gallon was like low. Yeah. And I drove all over for the first time in like months. I drove all over the place this week. So it was really nice to actually have that. So all that and much more coming up. Automotive news and notes coming up next. It's Let's Talk Wheels here on the Let's Talk Wheels Radio Network.
You're listening to the Let's Talk Wheels Radio Network. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Matt Perrault and Mike Herzing.
It's Let's Talk Wheels here on the Let's Talk Wheels Radio Network. Mike Herzing and Matt Perrault. Make sure that you guys check us out on Facebook and on Instagram by searching Let's Talk Wheels. Let's talk some automotive news and notes. Mike, Ford offering some Mustang Mach-E buyers $1,000 in cash and some free charging due to delivery delays, trying to make those customers happy. It's got to be frustrating when you get a vehicle, right? You don't get it when you want it.
Well, no kidding. You know, they had some quality issues, and Alan Frick, the vice president of sales, sends it to these folks and said, look, the ones that had to wait the longest, we've had some quality issues, and we're not sending them to you to do their exactly right. You know, they didn't have to do this, but they're sending in the guys that had to wait the longest. They're giving them $1,000 cash and 250 kilowatt free charging because of delivery delays. I mean, that's great. And the people that didn't the guys that have to wait the longest get the most money. You know, they didn't have to do that. That's great. Right. We've got a car that everybody wants, but they're what? You know, they're manning up here and sending money to them. So it's great.
In the email that Ford sent out to customers, they said, we know you are anxious to get driving and experience the 0-60 thrill, zero emissions and more from the Mustang Mach-E because we believe that customers should be treated like family. We are providing a $1,000 private offer on your Mustang Mach-E at time of delivery at your Ford dealership. Your dealer is aware of this unique offer. If you've already taken in delivery, you can contact the Ford at the number listed below to claim this offer. We are also providing you additional 250 kilowatts of complimentary DC fast charging on us. So that's, I mean, you know, I will agree with that. And really in the time of a pandemic, I think it's really smart. What's the price tag on the Mach-E now?
Oh my gosh. I don't know. I think they started in the mid 30s and they go up from there. You know, so I mean, it's a nice car. It's going to be a great seller, and it's going to be added to that. As a matter of fact, we have this little report from Auto Pacific that talks about EVs and how they're going to really go berserk this year. That's going to be a big deal, Matt. It really is.
Yeah, I mean, so we can get into that. So Auto Pacific announced that they are forecasting 15.7 million U.S. light vehicle sales in 2021. That is after the pandemic rebounds from. Right. You know, the shutdown, slowdown in 2020, but they're looking for a very strong, strong bounce back in the EV market. And I mean, it is significant because a lot of the gains here are going to be made in the light trucks and in the cars and sedans, right? I mean, we're going to see a lot of these vehicles on the road very soon, right?
Well, a couple of years ago, we were at 17 million. Okay. That's when you get into the record stuff. But what they're saying is, you know, almost, like close to 78% vehicles now we're going to be trucks and SUVs. And right. I think that's, I remember when it was like 40% SUVs. But the trick is, A, we're going to be driving more because everybody's going to be out. Like Texas yeah. opens up next week.
Right.
Period. Okay. But, you know, you got to figure this. We're driving more. We're out. You know, everything else. It's summertime. It's springtime. But think about it. Used to be there was a big negative. There was a big, you know, okay, great. I want a car. I get the good fuel economy. I want an SUV. I get more room, but there's a big negative because I lose fuel economy. It's noisy. It's loud, but now there's no negative really. SUVs, fuel economy is great. You know, trucks, yeah,
true.
You know, my Tahoe had last week 26 miles a gallon. Think about that.
Interesting. Yeah. I mean, it's great miles per gallon. Then you get the hybrids and then you get the EVs as well. As you're talking about just real incredible gas mileage and range for these vehicles as it keeps on getting bigger and bigger and better and better when it comes to the ranges. So yeah, I mean, that's 15.7 million, you know, U.S. light vehicle sales to bounce back. That's a great number. And hopefully for the dealerships, they see the business come in because they sure need it after what happened in 2020.
Where you're going to see a big increase is fleets. You know, the guys like Hertz and all those, you know, all the rental car plates, things like now that we're flying more and all that stuff, they sold all that stuff off.
Right.
And so they're going to have to rebuild it. You know, that can read it. We're going to be flying again. We're going to be going places again, be driving more. Companies are going to be putting people out on the road again, things like that. And a lot of companies didn't buy, they didn't replace stuff. So, yeah, trucks are getting a lot of miles on them. A lot of vehicles are miles on them.
Well,
so
that leads me to a question. It's a good segue into a question that I had from somebody this week that they wanted us to bring up on the show. Okay, yeah. So this person is looking at leasing a vehicle, right? Mm-hmm. So they're interested in – they now work from home. Okay. And their mileage, they used to drive anywhere between 8 and 15,000 miles a year, depending on the year. So okay. they would be comfortable with the 12,000 miles per year type of lease. They know that they're going to be, you know, they're no longer commuting. They initially used to commute about 15 miles to and from work every day. They're no longer going to do that because they now work from home. I know that, you know, in leases, you don't get any mileage back. You don't get any benefit from going under, but do you think could there be a depreciation change in the math for leasing a vehicle in 2021 going forward?
You know, I don't know. It really, it's hard to say.
Because that's the big thing, right? At the end of the lease, the overall depreciation on the vehicle, as to that's how they're going to calculate what you're going to pay per month for a lease, right?
Things are changing so much in that, you know, I need to get the guys, some automotive leasing group, ALG guys that do that kind of depreciation calculations on the show, because there's so many changes coming up because with the rise of EVs and hybrids, right. EVs traditionally just tank as far as residual value. I mean, it's just horrible. It's like buying a computer, you know, back in the 90s where the, you know, 6 months later, your computer was just, you know, junk. You know, it's just, you know, they lose their value so much because the next, you know, couple of years later, the new ones are so much better. Same thing with EVs. They, because of the battery, prices of the batteries and how the batteries get old, you know, it's just now. But now you can buy a laptop and it's still good 3 or 4 years later. But you go back a few years, a laptop is junk in, you know, just a few years. I don't know. It's hard to say. I mean, I would I don't think it's going to make a whole lot of difference right now for a while. Right now, the used car price, because of this chip shortage, that's right. That's our big wild card. We don't know. The chip shortage, if it changes by the end of the year, if it's cleared up by the end of the year, it'll be okay. But if it's not, you know, all of a sudden used cars are still going to be at a premium.
It's really interesting to see. So yeah. What happened? So along those lines, okay, so let's just say, and I didn't, this is a question that I should go back to this person with. I didn't actually get into it, but could there be more value in buying a used car than it is leasing a vehicle? I mean, I'm a big lease fan, but what, I mean, is that going to be where people might get lower mileage vehicles because we went a year and a half without driving anywhere and you might get like a 2018 with like 10,000 miles on it?
Yeah, but also you're going to be able to find cars that are sitting on lots, but you're right. You might be able to, but also if you keep a car more than 4 or 5 years, it's always better to buy it. I think, in my opinion, you know, if you take care of a vehicle and you don't just wear it out and just throw it away and you don't have to have a new vehicle all the time, buy it. You know, if you just tear up your vehicles and don't want to maintain them and you're just not one of those people that maintain vehicles and go get oil changes and tire rotations, just lease it. Sure.
I do all that because they pay for it.
Yeah. But I mean, I lease
our Jeep Cherokee because I don't pay for oil changes or tire rotations.
But I know people that buy cars and just drive the wheels off of them and they always come out ahead. You know what I mean? It is. But if you tear up vehicles and you're hard on vehicles, then it's better to lease them. But if you.
Yeah, that's interesting. I'm hard on vehicles, but I don't know if I guess my wife's car, but I'm not really hard on vehicles.
I've seen you drive.
Well, no, that's me. She doesn't drive. It's her vehicle. So we lease her car. And I like new. I like new technology.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, that's for me. Like I just like having, you know, the updated safety features. My next car is going to have Apple CarPlay wireless. Like that's just a gear.
That's you. Then you need to lease.
Yeah.
My daughter doesn't like new stuff. She likes simple, easy stuff. One of my youngest son, he just got a Ram, but he got the basic, you know, Texas edition. He got, you know, not the bottom trim, but just up from that. He doesn't want top of the line stuff. He likes simple. He doesn't need seat heaters or anything. He doesn't like that. He just wants simple stuff. He's just the way he is. And I'm okay with that. His last vehicle had 375,000 miles on it and he still has it.
That's incredible.
From high school.
375,000 miles is incredible.
His Toyota runs great. He still has it.
That's amazing that it still runs. That's just
It's a Tacoma. What do you expect? He off-roads it. You know, that's the way it is.
I've seen that vehicle, him off-roading that thing. Yeah. I mean, it's banged to hell, but it runs really well. Yeah. because he goes off-roading with it and he gets it up. I mean, that was one of the only vehicles that was able to get up when we were over at the ranch. Yeah. He was able to get his up an incredible rocky up steep incline. He was only the new ones couldn't do it. Jeeps could do it. Yep. A Jeep could do it, and his vehicle could do it. But that's it. Those are the only ones that were able to do it. And you know, it's funny that you bring that up because I've seen Kia Tellurides here in Vegas off roading more in the last 16 months than I have any time previous.
It's crazy, isn't it?
People are now figuring it out. I remember literally when we were driving it we were voting on you know, the off-roading truck of Texas. Like I was like, come on, a Kia, and it's a beast. It's an absolute beast. And it just does everything you'd want it to do. And now people are figuring it out because the Palisades I love. Okay. That I love. But if you like to off-road, it's not a Jeep by any means, but it can do a lot. In the desert, it can tear up some desert sand like there's no tomorrow. It's pretty wild to watch and pretty interesting, pretty cool to watch people do it here in the desert. So that's one of those like, oh, yeah, that's right. Those things do a pretty good job. So
it does.
All right. So we got our automotive reviews coming up next. Mike's got a Denali for you. I got a Sonata for you. Those are coming up next. And we have a conversation about the new King Ranch for the Ford Explorer. Stick around. More to come. It's Let's Talk Wheels here on the Let's Talk Wheels Radio Network.
You're listening to the Let's Talk Wheels Radio Network. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Matt Perrault and Mike Herzing.
Let's Talk Wheels here on the Let's Talk Wheels Radio Network. Matt Perrault with you. Mike Kurtz is going to be alongside in just 1 second for his automotive review. He's got a Denali, a big boy to tell you all about. I was driving this week a 2021 Hyundai Sonata in the trim level, the SEL Plus 1.6T. Now, this is a vehicle that is anywhere from about $22,000 to $35,000, depending on the bells and whistles you add on to this thing. But this is a really reliable vehicle that has a lot of cool features, and it's simply killer from a gas mileage perspective. I drove this thing everywhere. And this thing went everywhere with me with some incredible gas mileage. I was getting 30, 31, 32 miles per gallon, and I drive in sport mode all the time. Was really impressed with that feature. Was really impressed with just this is a $30,000 vehicle that gets just tremendous gas mileage and really exciting to drive, really fun to drive. You get your heated seats, you get your adjustable steering wheel, you get your automatic headlights, your power mirrors, your heated mirrors, your power seat, your alloy wheels. Look, this vehicle, you can get this thing all jacked up with all sorts of new trims and new things to do, some new tech packages. But overall, it's a good value. It's really roomy in the back seat. It's quick. I mean, it's got a good engine. It can move. I mean, you can get this thing all the way up to a 2.5-liter turbocharged four-cylinder, about 300 horsepower, which makes this more like a sport sedan than a normal sedan. I mean, it gets up and go. I mean, I didn't have a 300-horsepower engine, but it gets up and goes. I mean, the 1.6T, it's a really good engine, and the gas mileage is just sick. I mean, you can get up to 51 miles per gallon on the highway on this thing. So that's really, really nice. So the Sonata 1.6T, it's basically where most customers are going to be here, about $30,000. You got your panoramic sunroof, which is awesome. You get your 10.3-inch infotainment screen, which is nice. Your Apple and Android, Apple CarPlay, Android Auto, which is really, really nice. Great sight lines, really easy on the steering wheel. You got all your buttons very easily right in front of you. Very simple to use, which I liked a lot. You know, I don't know if I love the buttons from a park, reverse, neutral, and drive. I don't know. It seems kind of gimmicky to me. I know why they do it. It's kind of a unique little feature. I would just prefer some type of either pull down or some type of handle where I'm gripping and pushing down on it versus just pressing a button. Sometimes it felt like it was a little bit difficult to get through those where, you know, normally you just kind of throw the car. If it's rolling a little bit, you could throw it in drive and go. You really can't do that. You got to come to a complete stop and then go ahead and hit drive. I mean, it's a small thing, but the button controls, it's okay. Not huge, not tremendously in love with that, but I really did think the vehicle, it has everything where you want it to be. One thing I would like is wireless charging on one of these vehicles. That's something I think they should add. It's all under Hyundai's to do it. I would definitely add that if I were them to this vehicle, given the demographic that they're going after and how many people are looking for wireless charging now inside their vehicle. So I would, if I had to add something to the vehicle, that's what I would add. But other than that, I mean, it's a quick engine. It's a fun ride. It's an enjoyable experience to be behind the wheel, and it's great bang for your buck on top of that. So I think if you're in the market for a sedan, I think Hyundai is a great value. The Sonata, look, I mean, you can get this vehicle with Smart Park, right? The whole little joke, the Smart Park, you can get that. I'm from Boston. You can get that. I don't know. It's kind of gimmicky. I'm not sure it really has much real world practical experience, but they're trying to be unique. I think Hyundai is trying to grab a hold of this buyer saying, hey, look, this is not a luxury car, but it's kind of entry level luxury. It feels that way when you drive it, right? It's quick. You got some sight lines, some really sharp lines on this vehicle. When you look at it, it looks really nice. So I would definitely recommend driving this vehicle, checking it out. And there's all sorts of really cool new features and trim levels you can kind of tool around with the Hyundai Sonata. Again, I had the SEL 1.6T is what I reviewed. Highly recommend it if you're in the market for a sedan. It's a really nice mid-size sedan for sure. All right, Mike, what were you driving this week?
Folks, this week I was driving the 2021 GMC Sierra Denali 2500. Now, they make this in a 2500 or 3500. This is the little bit lighter duty one. It's still a heavy-duty truck. Don't get me wrong, folks. Don't even think this is not a really heavy-duty truck. You can get this sucker to carry anything. Actually, this thing will go, and it will go, Harry, 18,500 pounds if you can get it set up that way. And, my gosh, this is an awesome truck. The base price on it is $64,000. Now, this is a big truck. If you're kind of a short person, luckily it has running boards and things like that. This one had the 6.6 liter Duramax diesel with the 10-speed transmission. My gosh, so much power, 910 pound-feet of torque, 10-speed automatic. It has four-wheel drive. It's automatic four-wheel drive. I had it when we had that terrible cold snap in Texas. You know, it was so sure-footed, and I ended up going up to my lake house up in East Texas to make sure all the pipes weren't burst and things like that. It was muddy, slippery, and this thing just got me everything, wherever we needed to go. And this is one of the few vehicles that could have made it there. It was really nice. Snow and ice, no problem. And this one also had this special, you know, that one of those multifunction tailgates that folds down and stuff like that. It was so nice. I could get to everything I needed without having to get up in there with all my muddy feet and all that. It was great. I really love the tailgate. It has all the rear view, surround view cameras, and has the camera looks into the bed, and the camera looks onto the trailer hitch. And if you have your trailer hooked up, it has all the different 15 different views around the camera. That's so nice. All that GM trailering system, that is so nice. If you're towing a lot, if you're traveling on a trailer, travel trailers, or even work trailers, this is the vehicle to get. They have so many different, they call it surround vision. This is so neat that GM's done. It took a lot of work, and they've really, you know, kind of led the industry with this kind of stuff. Nice vehicle. Drives really nice. Now, the Denali is the top of the food chain as far as GMC's, you know, they have the AT4 and all the different versions, but this one's really nice. It has a lot of off-road stuff on it. It has all these off-road shocks and suspension and tires and stuff like that, 22-inch wheels. Real pretty truck. This is the truck that the boss drives, and you can take this sucker to, you know, any nicest place you want with your family and things like that. Hand stitched dash, leather, heated and cooled seats, Bose audio system, really nice dash, center stack, center console, but it still has all the safety features it has because it's a big truck. You really need this front and rear parking assist, lane change alert, side blind zone alert, rear cross traffic alert, keeps you from doing stupid things. Forward collision alert, lane departure warning, automatic emergency braking, you know, automatic headlamps, following distance indicator, safety alert seats. Yeah, that's what's cool. If you're doing something crazy, it kind of buzzes your seat to remind you. It's got heads up display in the dash. It says, you know, how fast you're going, what the speed limit is, all this kind of stuff. It's really kind of neat. And I really like the surround vision and stuff like that. Also has the camera rearview mirror. Really neat. Once you have this, you're going to not want anything else. Guys, this is a nice truck. If you're looking for a really top of the line pickup truck, I mean, they've got all their trucks. Don't get me wrong. You've got everything you want. You can also get this in case you don't like the diesel. You got a regular 6.6 liter V8 gas engine. They make that. It's a really nice vehicle. Granted, the diesel is an extra $9,700, which is like Ford and Ram, and they all do that. It's about the same price for everybody for the diesel. But, you know, that's diesel engines last 400,000 miles. That's what people do with them. The Denali package, the ultimate package, is an extra $2,200, you know, that's kind of stuff. But it's also got a giant sunroof in it, and that's nice. It's got the heads-up display, which is kind of nice to get used to it. It's really nice. This one had all the gooseneck set up for the gooseneck trailers if you ever want to pull that. You never know. Really pretty black. But total price on this thing is a little over $77,000. Of course, that sticker. You can get way off of that at the dealer. It's a nice vehicle. You know, if you're looking to buy a big truck, these things last for years and years and years and years. It's safe. It's big. If you're in an accident, you're going to win. It's really hard to beat the GMC Denali. This is their number one seller. When people talk about, they don't even call it a GMC truck. They just say, I'm driving a Denali. And, you know, they have the whole Denali line, whether it's the Yukon Denali, the Acadia Denali, you know, any of this other stuff. This is the Sierra Denali. You're just driving a Denali. And that is the top of the food chain when it comes to GMC. They've been making them for years. I think it was 1902 or something like that. This is a great brand. And they're just really well built. This thing is quiet on the highway. You never believe that you're driving a truck. Looks good. This black. I mean, I'm not a fan of black vehicles, but boy, when this sucker's clean, it looks really good. I really like they make this candy apple red that I really like, or even the white. But check them out. GMC Denali.
listening to the Let's Talk Wheels Radio Network. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Matt Perrault and Mike Herzing.
Welcome to Let's Talk Wheels. I'm Mike Herzing along with Matt Perrault. Today we have Lee Newcomb, who is the marketing manager for the new Ford Explorer. He's going to talk about some exciting news, and this is great. Lee, welcome to Let's Talk Wheels.
Hey, thanks, guys. Great to be here. Hope you're doing well down there in Texas.
Oh, we've been freezing our butts off, but tell you what, the King Ranch is a pretty important thing down here in Texas, but more importantly is the King Ranch for F-150 and the King Ranch Expedition, but now you're telling me that there's a new King Ranch Explorer.
Yeah, that's right. We are super excited to launch the King Ranch on Explorer. It's been a brand that's been very important to Ford for the last 20 years. We've had the relationship with King Ranch. It does so many things for F-150, Super Duty, Expedition. It's just a natural fit to have it on Explorer, and we couldn't be more excited to have it as part of our lineup.
Well, does this one have the really cool, really nice, comfortable seats?
Yeah, so the interior, this is all about the interior on King Ranch. We've got over 85 square feet of leather on the interior, full three rows of leather seating, all done up in the Mesa Del Rio leather. Trim, so looks the part of saddle leather, but delivers the comfort of heat and the comfort of cooling as well.
You know, this is one of the few leather seats that when you get to have 8 or 9, 10 years old, they look better than they did new.
Yeah, I love the patina of that once they get worn in a little bit. It's also the beauty of the seats in that they're so robust and rugged, built kind of out of that King Ranch spirit. You're comfortable getting in there with your dirty jeans on, and you're comfortable getting in there with your dress pants on when you're going out for a night on the town. So it's really the best we can offer on Explorer.
When did Ford start the relationship with the ranch?
2001, we started with our first offering on the F-150 Super Crew. It took off as a great hit, and we've been trying to expand it into the right products ever since. Explorer is just a natural fit because it's all built around ruggedness, getting out for adventure, and kind of that authentic experience. So we're super excited to be a part of that family.
Well, I know it's a little bit more than just some seats, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, on the exterior, we've got some unique wheels. We've got a unique grille. Some great King Ranch badging on it. And then it also surrounds a 3-liter, 365 horsepower EcoBoost engine, as well as some great premium technologies with 10-inch touchscreens and massaging seats, 980-watt B&O sound system, and then all the driver's assist technologies you could want on your vehicle. It is the ultimate Explorer for us.
Now, wait, 980-watt sound system, that's just what every cowboy needs to listen to Roy Rogers, right?
That's right. Hey, if you got to look good, you better sound good. So you got it all in the King Ranch, and it is the ultimate for us.
Now, in the lineup of trim packages, where does this kind of sit?
It sits really right next to Platinum and ST, which are two great offerings for us as well. You know, it's outfitted similarly, but it has that unique King Ranch appearance on the outside and, of course, the great leather interior on the inside. So it starts just over $52,000. And the unique offering we have that we're starting with on King Ranch is the first rear-wheel drive only offering for King Ranch. So typically, we do a four-wheel drive offering with our 3-liter EcoBoost, and we've now opened it up to two-wheel drive for those markets that may not require four-wheel drive or maybe are looking for a little bit different driving performance in their Explorer.
Now, talk to the folks about the Explorer. I mean, it's changed a lot from what it was a few years ago. You came out a few years ago with a new, completely new Explorer, and a lot of people may have missed that.
Yeah, we launched the all-new 6th-generation Explorer in the 20 model year, so middle of 19 calendar year. Been a great product for us, America's best, all-time best-selling SUV. We sold over 8 million Explorers in the 30 years that we've been in the market. We have a great customer base that is active with us. We're always looking to innovate the product. And over the last year, we've made a lot of incremental improvements to the product. We've launched XLT Sport Appearance Packages, which have been done great for us. We've improved the materials on the inside of the vehicle, improved ride and handling on it, made it even more quiet than it already was. So the great thing about our product team is they never stop innovating on Explorer. It's an exciting team to be part of because they're never satisfied. And ultimately, in the end, the customer benefits.
You know, right. I'm looking here on your press release on the King Ranch, moving back to that. I saw that you have the perforated front and second rows seats, and you've got the Running W logo. That is so cool.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite features on the seat because it's such a great little detail. You know, sometimes people just kind of stamp a logo on the seats. This one is actually stitched in. It's got some depth and really gives you kind of that handcrafted, authentic feel that you would expect in a King Ranch interior.
Well, you know, and also on the instrument panel, it's genuine wood.
Yeah, so we use it's a leather-wrapped instrument panel, and then it's highlighted by Cipelli wood inserts. So if you haven't heard that word Cipelli before, it looks a little bit like mahogany. It's an open-pore wood. It really looks rich and very on-brand for King Ranch.
Okay, now, everybody that does an Explorer nowadays with the rear-wheel drive, what about towing and power and powertrain and things like that?
So, yeah, this comes with a standard 3-liter V6 EcoBoost engine, 365 horsepower, mated to a 10-speed automatic transmission. It comes with 7 selectable drive modes. So if you're going off-road and you want some trail or you're in some snow, normal, sport, eco, however you want to drive, we got the drive modes to help you out. And this one tows up to 5,600 pounds. So it really gives you all the capability that you would want in your SUV when you're out on your adventure. You know you're going to be able to handle anything.
Okay, now let's talk about safety features. We got another 5 minutes, so we got to fill that up. Let's talk about the Co-Pilot 360.
Yeah, so all Explorers come standard with Co-Pilot 360. So that includes blind spot, auto high beams, rain sensing wipers, lane keep assist. But when you step up to King Ranch, you get standard Co-Pilot 360 Assist Plus, which is really next level driver's assist technologies. With that, you get onboard navigation. You get intelligent adaptive cruise control, one of my favorite features because it will automatically monitor the distance between you and the car in front of you and it will slow as traffic builds, but resume your speeds once traffic clears. And even better, it's got stop and go and lane centering. So the adaptive cruise control will take you to a full stop and reaccelerate you. And the lane centering really makes your highway driving easier because it just kind of manages the car within its lane. You still need to stay active with the steering wheel, but it does a lot of the work for you. And then one of the best kept secrets within the whole setup is the traffic sign monitoring. So if you set your cruise at 55 and all of a sudden the speed limit changes and drops, it will warn you that the speed limit has dropped and it'll adjust your speed accordingly and hopefully get you out of a speeding ticket.
You know, that's one of the biggest things that these little towns make money at. You're going to make these little towns go out of business, right? On tickets.
Yeah, well, that's not the worst thing in the world. That saved me quite a few times in the time I've been working on the Explorer program. Great little feature.
You know, it really is. I went to the launch of the Explorer a couple years ago, and I was just amazed that they have these new, you know, these new Goodyear or Michelin run flat tires and or safety seal tires and all these neat things that they're just in all with the Yakima, these new programs with Yakima and all these neat things. They're just – Ford has just really gone out of their way to do things for their customers that they've never done before.
Yeah, well, you know, our new leader, Jim Farley, you know, one of the things he talks about is capitalizing on our strengths. And Ford has a long history. Our employees are all family members and have children and avid drivers, and we always want to try and look through the lens of the customer. So we do try and put great features on it. The self-seal tire you talk about is great in that it, you know, it seals around punctures to keep you on the road more safely. We have things on Explorer like side wind stabilization. When you're driving down the highway and you get kind of those side gusts, the side wind stabilization will kick in and help you stay centered in your lane. And, yeah, I mean, the relationship we have with Yakima is great. That's such a great brand. They exude such cachet with people who are outdoor enthusiasts. It was just a no-brainer to partner with them and develop our outfitters packages so people can more easily get into accessories on their Explorer and kind of support their whims and what it is where they want to go on their adventures.
How long have you been driving Explorer?
You know, I think I'm now on my fifth or sixth Explorer in the last 20 years. My first one was a two-door Sport back in the late 90s, probably about 97. And I've been in and out of them ever since. So right now I'm in an Explorer ST and absolutely love it.
You know, my daughter-in-law has an ST, and she absolutely loves it, especially the all-wheel drive.
Yeah, it's the platform, the rear-wheel drive element to it. It just the way it corners. One of the people I work with said, you know, you got to drive it like you stole it, because that really makes you realize how finely engineered the product is, and it's just a blast to drive.
It's a real staple for Ford's lineup. Really is.
Yeah, it's absolutely one of the most important products we have in our lineup, and that's, you know, we definitely devote the resources to it, and such a great team of engineers working on it, always pushing the boundaries, always looking for the next opportunity and how we can improve the product. And, you know, I think it really shows in, you know, we're America's all-time best-selling SUV, over 8 million units sold, great customer base. It's really just a real fun product to work on, and everyone who's on it loves it. And I think it shows in the execution with you know, these new entries like King Ranch.
No, you're absolutely right. I just absolutely hate to see them though when they're in my rearview mirror with those blue and red flashing lights.
You know, we are so proud of the police business that we do, the first responders. It's really, you know, that's a great partnership we have with the police departments across the United States. They've really helped us develop the police interceptor to be really the best-selling police interceptor in the market. I mean, we command in excess of 50% of all police cars sold are Ford police interceptors. And they've really helped us make it into the product it is today. And with the hybrid application we have, that helps a lot of municipalities save a lot of money because they don't have to sit there and idle their engines. They can just work off the battery technology. So we're proud to be able to do business with them every day.
All right, Lee, we've got to go. We're running out of time. Thanks for joining us today.
Hey, thank you so much for the time. You guys be well down in Texas. We're thinking of you.
That was Lee Newcomb from our friends at Ford. Now, don't go away. There's still more to come, including our weekly classic car segment with Jeremy Berenbaum from Classic.com. All of it right here on the Let's Talk Wheels Radio Network.
You're listening to the Let's Talk Wheels Radio Network. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Matt Perrault and Mike Herzing.
It's Let's Talk Wheels here on the Let's Talk Wheels Radio Network. Mike Herzing and Matt Perrault. Okay, so when you guys go to check out the podcast, we always have extra audio on the podcast. Mike always has a conversation with Jeremy Berenbaum from Classic.com. But this week, Mike, you're telling me we got multiple, not just one.
Yeah, we have Zach Raddatz from Speedway Motors. They sell all these parts, really quality classic car parts, but also classic car parts, hot rod parts. I mean, they'll even have stuff for your Jeeps or your big trucks, you know, bumpers, wheels, tires, all kinds of stuff. These guys have all kinds of stuff, and they're just great folks. Good quality stuff at a great price, and they're open 7 days a week. It's really cool. There's good folks. Plus, we also talked to Jeremy about some of the stuff we did. And actually, the Speedway Motors helped me with a project, our 58 F100, and some changing the generator to an alternator and things like that. So we had a great talk with these guys.
Interesting. So you guys will always get that every week on the Let's Talk Wheels Radio Network podcast. You'll get Jeremy Barenbaum. And this week, you're going to get not one, but two different interviews that Mike will have for you coming up. You can get the podcast. It's really easy. The simplest way of doing it is just either go to Spotify or Apple Podcasts. You can find Let's Talk Wheels there, or go to sportsmapradio.com, click on podcasts, and you guys can scroll down and find Let's Talk Wheels, and you'll see a link to take you to all of our podcasts, all of our back episodes, everything else. And as always, check us out on Instagram and Facebook by searching Let's Talk Wheels. Next week, same place, same time. Mr. Herzing, thank you, my friend. We'll talk to you soon, all right?
All right. Adios, big boy.
More to come next week right here on the Let's Talk Wheels Radio Network.
Okay, folks, welcome back. As usual, we have our resident car guru, Jeremy Barenbaum from Classic.com, C-L-A-S-I-Q, for those of you that are uninitiated. Jeremy, what's happening in L.A.?
Not too much. You know, just working on my Lincoln Zephyr. I know we had talked about that a couple times. Doing the body work on that car is just taking so much time. But I know once it's done, it'll look good.
Yeah, we just got off the phone with Zach Raddatz from Speedway Motors, and man, they got some great parts. I put one of their alternators on. It just, you know, it's funny. So I can get an alternator bracket and bolt it on there, you know, replace the generator, and it's so lined up that I can screw the bolts in with my fingers. You know what I mean? And they just line up perfectly. I can't remember the last time I had parts that are engineered that good.
Yeah, and you know, since we've been talking about Speedway the past, you know, a couple weeks, I've gone on their website multiple times to look for parts, and it's amazing how much they have. I haven't really stumped them yet in terms of what I've been trying to find.
Well, they've got people that are there on the phone from 7 a.m. to 10 p.m. 7 days a week, Central Time, of course, but that's okay. They're there to answer your questions. It's kind of cool.
No, I found it's really helpful because a lot of times when you're buying a part, you have a lot of questions in terms of, is it going to fit this? I've changed that. And the people that are helping you on the phone at Speedway they're actual car builders. They're guys that have suggested those parts, have used those parts before. So it's really helpful when you talk to someone that they know, you can tell that they know what they're talking about.
Yeah, well, they got the CNC machines and things like that. A lot of, you know, a big majority of the parts, they build them right there.
So when you put the alternator on your car and you got rid of the generator, mm-hmm. were there any other kind of problems that you ran into during the process?
Not at all. I called them. They said, you want this bracket? You want this little short wiring harness, this, you know, this pigtail? And here's the alternator. It's a one-wire GM alternator. It's painted black, so you don't really notice it's there. And I wired it in like the instructions said, started it right up. The light went out. Charges great. As a matter of fact, it idles a little bit better because I've got a better voltage at idle. Because don't forget, generators don't really charge at idle. Okay, so now I've got a good battery voltage at idle. So it actually, you know, the ignition system is a little bit happier.
Yeah, that totally makes sense. Now, did you already have a gauge for your amps in the car? Is that something that you had to add as well, or is it something that wasn't really a worry to you?
It's really not a worry. It has a generator light. And every time it idle, the little light would kind of flicker and come on red, and then you rev it up and it would go out. I'm thinking about putting a voltmeter, but I haven't really decided.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think a voltmeter when you're driving around is all that necessary. I think the biggest positive of having one is sometimes you can tell if you have a problem with your alternator, something's not charging, if you're actually being pretty vigilant while looking while driving. I try to teach myself, and even when I talk to my fiance when we get in the classic cars, you know, it's always really important to keep an eye on your gauges, whether you know they're accurate or they're just keeping, you know, a decent eye on what you have, you know, knowing your oil pressure, knowing your water temp, knowing your voltage. As you drive and get more used to the car, if those numbers are off, it gives you a good indication that something may be wrong.
Well, if it's not charging, the big red light comes on.
Yeah.
Well, that's okay. Now, I've got a couple of questions. I had a kind of a talk with somebody the other day when we were talking about the Pate swap meets coming up. And so, as a matter of fact, I'm going to talk to you about that. And April 22nd through 24th, everything's got okayed. It's going to be at Texas Motor Speedway. They expect a little over 100,000 people to go through there in the 3 days. And And that's kind of a big deal. But somebody talking about, we have a little debate about kit cars. You know, something you get, say you want to get a little, you know, rod, hot rod, and you want a, maybe a 32 Ford or something, you know, and okay, that's kind of cool with the open wheels and things like that. You know, put a small block Chevy in it, things like that. All right, cool. Do you want to get an original and strip it down to the frame and put the small kit, you know, motor and trans and things like that? Or do you want to just buy a kit car? And it, does somebody look down on a kit car? Oh, man, that's a kit car. That's junk. And walk away. Or is it okay? What do you think?
I mean, there's no one should ever tell you that what you're doing is wrong, because it's what your heart desires, right?
Yeah.
But I think the reason that a lot of these kit cars have come out is because the cars that they're emulating, that they're trying to be, you can't buy them anymore. They're either in a price range that is, you know, astronomical and you can't reach it, or you can't find the cars anymore. These kit cars are impossible. If you really want to own, you know, a Ferrari 250 GTO or a Shelby Cobra, you have the ability to drive one. You have the ability to go get a Ford 427 motor and put it in your kit car. And it basically looks, sounds, and it'll drive like 90% of what the actual car is when
right.
you don't have the possibility to go out and buy one.
Well, you know, you're
Some
right.
people I'm, like to do it.
Yeah, but I'm talking about mainly hot rods, or maybe even a Cobra, Shelby Cobra. Those are the ones I'm talking about. When you get into the big, or maybe even a 356 Porsche, those kind of kit cars. Those are the ones I'm mainly talking about. And, you know, I don't know, or I could never afford a 356 Porsche, by the way, by any means, or even a real Shelby Cobra. But their kit cars are really pretty good, aren't they?
Oh, they're really good. Sometimes people can't even tell the difference between a kit car or original unless you know, maybe like, tap on the fender and see that it's fiberglass. Over steel. They also add the ability to change or customize your car. Say you want to have a Shelby Cobra, but you want to do some modifications. You have the ability to do so. You're not ruining a true original car. You're not hurting the value of that. And you're able to do what you want to it. I know the GT40 is another one that you're starting to see a lot more kit cars for. I think the biggest thing when you say, are people looking down on them? Are they, you know, as liked as a regular car? A lot of these kit cars you could build off of VW chassis. And so a lot of times it'll look like, say, a Ford GT, but it'll have total VW running gears, full chassis and everything. I think sometimes people don't like those as much just because you can tell a little bit more that they're not what they're trying to be.
Yeah.
But on some of these cars, you couldn't tell the difference. And you know, for what you want to get out of it and what you're going to put into it, it's a lot better solution.
Yeah, if I was going to get a hot rod, open wheel, you know, 32 coupe or something, you know, open wheel convertible kind of thing, I would rather have a kit car because they're safer, they're easier to build. You can probably build one for $25,000 or something like that, or buy a used one, you know, put a small block Chevy in it, you know, automatic transmission and disc brakes and things like that, and make it really safe and a good, nice car. You can get it in metal or fiberglass, and they're great, you know, just for the weekend.
They even make them in aluminum.
Yeah, or aluminum.
Sometimes.
You're going to get up and, you know, go out and go to In-N-Out Burger or Prince's or one of those things, or out here in Texas, go to Whataburger on weekends or something, or go to a Coffee and Cars and just have fun. You know what I mean? Date night, go to the beach, something like that.
I'll tell you one car that I see all the time that is one of my favorite kit cars is the Deco Rides Lincoln Zephyr.
Oh.
I don't know if you're familiar with the original car that it was based off of, but the car was called Scrape. It was a Lincoln Ooh. Zephyr that was a combination of a 39, 40, and 41.
Wow.
It's basically the first, you know, hot rod classic car to lay frame on airbags, besides, like, the mini trucks that were doing
in those.
The 80s
yeah.
and 90s.
Yeah.
And so Decoride came out and made a fiberglass copy of the one and only Scrape. There's only one of them. And now you'll see, I think there's somewhere between 30 to 50 Deco Ride Scrape cars now. And in my opinion, that's amazing. It's a car that only one person in the world can own, and it gives the ability for more people to own it, to drive it, to show it off. I think it's amazing.
That is great. You know, folks, tell you what, we're going to talk a little bit more about kit cars next week. And if you've got a kit car you want us to talk about, please send us an email, mike@letstalkwheels.com or jeremy@classic.com. It's C-L-A-S-I-Q.com. We'd love to talk about it for you and do a little research. And as always, Jeremy, thanks for joining us.
Oh, of course. Yeah, I know when researching these kit cars, there was a lot that I was like, oh, man, I kind of want to get one of these.
You know, the Cobra kit cars, I've got a friend that's got one, and it is absolutely awesome. I would like to get one that maybe a little bit longer. They make them that's a little bit extended a little bit, another 5 or 6 inches longer, just so you're not, you know, too cramped up in there. That's kind of great.
Yeah. You remember in the 70s, there was a brand called Cheetah that made kit cars. They looked almost like a Shelby Daytona.
Yeah.
And those are one of the ones that are just super cool.
Super nice. All right, folks, thanks for tuning in to the podcast today. If you got a car question, email me, info@letstalkwheels.com. We're going to work to get everybody an answer. Remember, you can find us on our website, letstalkwheels.com, Facebook, Instagram. Tell your friends about the podcast. Ask them to subscribe. We'd really appreciate it. On behalf of Matt Peralt, Jeremy Barenbaum, our awesome producer, Jack McCraw, and myself, I want to thank everybody for joining us today on the Let's Talk Wheels radio podcast. I'm Mike Herzing. As always, happy motoring.